Welcome to Visual Eyes, the podcast powered by Visuals by Momo.
Join us as we unlock video marketing secrets, provide insights, tips, and behind-the-scenes wisdom.
Tune in, subscribe, and elevate your business with the power of video. So today's topic, we're going to talk about the filming day. So there's many different things that go into the day that we get on set to capture all of these scenes from what we've created during our storyboarding process.
Right.
So walk me through, or walk people through, what goes into a good setup. Like, when we're there, we found the location, we know what we're going to capture for the day. Is the space ready? Like, the minute we walk in?
No. Here is the thing. Me, personally, I like to set up my frames or build my frames and my scenes. I would say it takes sometimes up to 1 hour to set up the scene with lighting, with cameras, with two cameras, with different angles. So you need to take care of two different angles of lights, of shadows, of composition, everything.
I know one account that we were working on with a client, we were there for almost 2 hours setting up.
Yeah, sometimes.
Like, it took a lot longer because the space wasn't ideal.
Right.
You know, if it's a smaller space and you're trying to fit two cameras and you're trying to fit lighting and you're trying to fit three different people, because that's what we have for our crew at that day, it's not easy.
That's why scouting is very important, but sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Especially when you're driving across country,
right,
or flying into a location. Yeah. Unless they give you a layout of like, oh, it's this, you know, 30 feet by 20 feet.
Right. And sometimes we ask for photos or videos of the space before we go if we cannot scout.
Right. So taking the time to set up is very important because, like you said, it builds the scene. And it can take some extra time. But giving us that time makes it done right.
Right.
So we have an amazing crew that we work with. And we bring them with us. So we have a makeup and hair artist. We have another cameraman. We have production managers. We have assistants, photographers, behind the scenes, whatever might be needed for that day.
Right. Everyone on the team has their own mission, and just giving everyone what he's good at, that makes a difference at the end. Like, one person can do so much.
Well, when you specialize and you can actually take the time to go, this is the only task that I'm worried about.
Right.
It makes it so much easier.
It will give you the chance to take care of every detail. And small details matter when it comes to video production.
You mentioned that earlier in another podcast. Yes. That details are so important.
It is, especially in our field.
Which is why we actually bring hair and makeup on, because we've actually had a client that came back after we had filmed with them and didn't get hair and makeup on set. And it was like, I don't look that good.
Right. And some other people, they think hair and makeup on set means like we're going to make them like dress makeup. It's not about this. It's just to hide some shines from the light, or if there's just small things here and there, retouch things. It's not makeup. It's just retouch.
Yeah, so hiding a blemish or hiding a zit, heaven forbid. Or, like for me, I don't have a lot of eyebrows. And so I can add a little bit of eyebrows, and which actually did happen on one filming.
Right, I remember that.
Because we needed an extra on the set of filming, and I was like, okay, well, I'll be that extra. And literally, I don't think he did more than just a a little bit of powder and a little bit of, you know, lining of the eyebrows, and that was it.
Right, well, but not it was, bothering your face or
I had no makeup. Or, there was no, like, foundation or anything additional. It was just the minor little pieces to, like you said, not making me shine, just to kind of give me more lines where they needed to be.
Right.
So that was very important, and it made the video phenomenal. Like, it actually made the video great.
Every detail matters.
So when you're setting up, what goes into creating that composition?
The most important thing is to draw the lines of the object you're filming so they pop up in the image. That happens with lighting. Also, the composition in general to be comfort for the eye. And where your eye gonna move in the frame? What gonna attract your eye the most?
So this is one of the reasons that we bring on extra people, because you can be behind the camera. Yeah, you can be behind the camera while someone's moving a tree or moving the chair and putting in the right composition.
That's all just to make the eye pleased, to attract the eye, to make people not getting bored. Mm-hmm. It's just pleasing the eye, visually good to the eye, so you don't get bored quick.
Saying eye a lot.
Because it's all about the eye.
It's true. I mean, visuals, so visual eyes.
Right.
It's all about what we see, and it's all about how we react to what we're viewing
or how,
in the video.
How what we see affects us.
Mm-hmm. That's it's the emotion,
right,
that we need to convey, and creating that structure is very important. So taking the time to do that correctly and do that properly is very important.
And guess what? That happens with certain projects, not all projects. There's other projects just to be capturing the moment as is. But the art and the creativity here to create the best of what you have to still get the right emotion, that's another way to capture good story or good footage and good emotions. It depends on the project, and both sides has its own creativity.
So let's talk more about lighting, because you said that actually draws like the lines and it goes deeper into creating that emotion.
Lighting is the image, is what we see. Cinematography and photography is drawing by light. I don't know if that makes sense. Is that just in my language and cultural, or it's
I know if
familiar?
If they're in the industry, I know that that is something everybody talks about. It's drawing with light. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of our listeners maybe that are, you know,
because
business people, they don't understand what that means.
Right. The basic of photography and cinematography was to expose the film with light. So you're drawing with the light on this film.
On the, yeah, the exposure of...
Right, and if there is more light, it's exposed more. It gives like white or lighter spots. And if it's dark, it gives you black lines. So it's drawing with light on the film. And cinema was the same thing, was negative, and it's just many, many, many photos together, and you know the idea of cinema, right?
On the reel, yeah.
On the reel. So it was drawing by light. So that's how you shape things. It's the reflection of the light on our eyes or on the camera.
So when
when if there is no light, there is no image. It's dark. It's black. So light what draws the image.
It's true. It's true. When we go on to a set, we bring a ton of lights.
Right.
Why is that?
One of my mentors says, you get to control the location, not the location controls you. So I do that if I didn't have the time to scout or the chance to scout, and I don't know if there will be a big window with daylight coming in, or there is no windows in the room. That's why I take different lights, if you want to talk about just light, to be able to control the location no matter what or how it looks like. Because I remember a couple of times I was contacting the location and asking for a big room, and there is no daylight, and it's not fully furnished. That's the best way, right? And I go there, it's all glass, daylight everywhere. It's very, very, very small room and has big table in the middle, and there is no way to put even one camera. Some people does not understand how cameras work.
I remember actually going to film at the beginning of January of this year, and we got in there and we were seeing the office space and trying to add our lighting with two cameras and three people besides the person that was getting interviewed in this office. They just didn't get it. They didn't understand. And it was interesting because one of the individuals at the organization was helping us, and she was helping to like read the questions. And she actually said, oh my God, you guys need a bigger room. It was so pleasant to hear that she understood why we were asking for a bigger room. And the only other room that was bigger than this one was the executive director's office, which was unable. We were not able to go in there and film, unfortunately. Otherwise, it would have been the better location. So it was a challenge. We worked around it as best we could.
That's being creative.
But it is ideal to have a bigger space because then we have more flexibility and freedom to really set up that scene.
And again, it's more ideal if they tell us how big is the room or we scout.
Yes.
If we have the chance to scout, that would be the ideal ideal. But we couldn't do it. I remember other shoots. I asked for a big room, and they told me, yes, the office is big, and it's in the garage, so I thought it will be like half of the garage, gonna be big office. And I go there, and it's literally the desk and chair, and maybe if it's one more person in the room, and that's the office I should be filming at.
How is that a big room?
It fits person.
A person?
Yeah, the one will be filmed, right?
So I think, you know, trying to figure out spacing and understanding spacing, we should really tell them that we need to be able to fit two cars side by side in that room without anything in it.
Or we give them measurement, like how many feet by how many feet or how many meters by how many meters, and that's the good size.
We talked a little bit about the crew. So we also have a drone specialist who helps us with capturing additional scenes.
On filming day also, sometimes I decide that we're going to need some drone scenes. It depends on, again, the project, if we want to start the video with the building or to show where is the building or the location of the building. I like to add some drone footage. And I remember that one project, I was creating a video for an organization.
The client actually had a party in that space that you're talking about. They had a big backyard. They've got a big facility. And they wanted to capture some of the scenes. And so we brought in a drone to capture that. And that is actually somebody that's on the team as well. That's part of our crew. And there's a multitude of people that should actually be there when you're capturing drone footage. Especially if you are not the one that's viewing the drone as it's flying through the air, because that's actually a regulatory law that you have to follow. And so if the person is using like goggles or VR to capture the footage, you need another person that can actually see specifically the drone in the air. And that's very important. So sometimes we have to bring on a second person, or we have to do it ourselves. And so there's always a number of people that is involved with any filming. And that's something that we take care of for our clients, for our business partners.
So what you want to say is to fly a drone that needs its own team?
But it does.
I see some people all the time flying drones just by themselves in some public areas.
So it depends. That's actually a really good point. So if you're using drone for a commercial business and it's going to be put out for social media for your business or on an advertisement on TV or for your website, it has to be done by a licensed drone pilot. And that is when you actually have to be regulated. And that's when you should actually look at having a full team to actually capture it very well. Now, if you're only doing it for recreational purposes and it's just a fun little picnic and you're just with your family, you know, any of those smaller, cheaper drones that you can buy at the store, you know, those are fine because they're under the weight limit of what needs to be there. And it's not used for anything other than your own purposes. But if the goal is to try to make money from creating a video, then it's considered commercial use. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode of Visual Eyes, and we hope to see you on the next episode.
Thank you.